Shall be quiet as a Baptist church tonight. Amen. Some Baptist churches. Amen. There's some Baptist churches that are, amen, shouting Baptists. Amen. Depending where you go. Amen. Praise God. But I'm thankful to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Church signing is not going to save us anyway. Amen. You could claim to be Pentecostal and be plenty lostal. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. We want to go to the Hebrews, the fourth chapter tonight. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13 is where I want to read. Amen. And I feel something in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Stirred in my heart today. And amen. And I want to deliver what God has given me to help you as an individual. Amen. Hebrews 4 and 12, the word of the Lord says, for the word of God is quick. That word quick is an old English word that means alive. The word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any what? Piercing even to the dividing asunder, splitting apart of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and what? The intents of the heart. God is able to split hairs, get down deep, even in between thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen. God knows how to get in between. Verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Are you thankful that God sees the whole picture tonight? Amen. I want you to help me pray that you would grasp what the word wants us to have tonight. Lord, I thank you for the word. I thank you for your truth. I thank you for these wonderful people that have come to the house tonight. I praise you and I love you and I honor your name. And I thank you for victory and joy in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Amen. And I'm grateful for the help of the Lord tonight. Amen. And I just want to just go a little bit into an introduction tonight. The scripture said all things are naked and open in the eyes of the Lord. Through the years, I have found myself, and even recently, in situations where people have come to me with issues, incidents, conflicts, and events that have happened. And many times, whether they intentionally or unintentionally, the desire when they come to you is for you to pick up their side of the story and carry it with them. In other words, amen, they explain what happened, they share the hurt, they present the facts as they understand them. And if we're not careful, we can quickly grab a side before we see the whole picture. There's some things happening. And you're finding it on Facebook, you find it on YouTube, you find it, and even Pentecostals, and I've had preachers even try to get me to take a side and say, what do you think about this? And if you say something, amen, it begins to divide you to a certain and particular mindset, thought, and to a judgment. And they try to get you to take a side. And for years, I have made the statement, there are not two sides to every story. I've said there are three sides to every story. Your side, their side, and what really happened. Amen. You got to be careful which side you take. But recently, as even of today, the Lord helped me. And we were at the house, and we were headed to the house of the Lord, and I mentioned this to my wife. I said, you know, I've always said that there's three sides to a story, but the Lord kind of revealed to me today that it goes deeper than that. Just like a Rubik's Cube has six sides, they don't have three sides. Many times there are six sides to what happens. Think about it. We got to be careful when people try to get you to comment. They try to get you to side. They get you to, you know, make a judgment. And Today I thought about it. A Rubik's Cube has six sides. Think with me. And when you hold it in your hand, you hold it in your hand, you can only see the one that is fully facing you. You may see the color clearly and believe you understand the whole picture of the cube, but somebody on the other side sees something totally and completely different. Life's conflict are the same way many times. When something happens, everybody grabs the cube, so to speak, and turns it towards themselves and said, this is what I feel. What do you think about it? And they'll see one side, and the danger is believing that we see a side and we think that's the whole picture. And we got to be careful what we begin to make a judgment call on. Amen. And many times there are people that ignorantly will comment. Today there's a social media, Facebook, and there are people that will comment on certain things and don't realize that it has more than just two sides. There's six sides many times. First side I want to just get you to think about. There's side number one, the accused side, the person that they're accusing. And many times, this is what they will say, this is what I meant. And this side includes intentions, circumstances, background, explanations, and sometimes even regrets. But many times, people judge an action without knowing the whole struggle, the pressure, or the story behind it. That's why we got to be careful not to take a side. There's the accused side. Then there's the, many times, the wounded side where somebody said, this is what happens to me. And the side includes pain, disappointment, damage, consequences. The hurt is real. The wound matters. And the pain sometimes can limit our perspective. And there are people that will jump to either side to be either what we call the perpetrator or the victim. How many's ever had a situation where the victim pretended to be the perpetrator and the perpetrator pretended to be the victim? It's crazy. It's a mixed up world, friend. And things are mixed up. So we got to be careful to realize there's the first side, the second side. Then the third side is now what I want to call the spectator side. The side of those who get involved and start forming opinions. These is the one that comments on Facebook. This is the one that says, this is what I heard happen. Or this is what the gossiper comes to you and present a side. I mean, have somebody come and tell you some little bitty news about a big situation. Have you heard? Be careful how you comment when somebody comes to you with news and brings you a side. Remember, this thing has multiple sides. And the third side is that spectator side. There's people like to get in and stir things up. I mean, he's found that to be true. Have you ever been around Sister or Brother Spoon? They like to stir things up. They like to agitate. They like to chop up. I mean, they like to stew things up. They like to pressure cook things. They like to bring things out of perspective. Amen. They are those that are just in the spectator's side. And this may be the most scrambled side of the whole thing. Think about it. All scrambled up. And, you know, because people oftentimes inherit offensive, they repeat incomplete information. They choose loyalty before they choose truth. They form conclusions without even looking at all the facts. They don't realize that they're just looking at one side. And they try to bring it to a conclusion. Proverbs, the 18th chapter, verse 17 says, he that is first in his own cause seems just, but his neighbor come and searcheth him. The first term of the cube is not always the final picture. Somebody say amen. We got to be careful which side we're on. Then the fourth side, guess what the fourth side is? The actual side, the reality side. This is what really happened. And many people are not up on that side. They really don't know what happened. and beyond emotions, beyond opinion and assumption, guess what? They're always the facts. Truth is not always the loudest voice in the room. Hear me? But truth doesn't change based on the story. And it's not changed on who tells the story. Hear me very closely. The reality side is the real side of what happened. Think with me. Then side number five is the word of God side. This is what God had already said. God's word speaks when feelings argue. Hear me. Brother Colton quoted me this morning, feelings will fool you. Friend, don't give in to feelings and let feelings dictate. God's word speaks when feelings argue. And I got to say it, I got to do it because I want it in your heart. Amen. This book is going to be right nine times out of nine. This book's going to be right. And friend, the word of God speaks. It addresses forgiveness. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. It addresses honesty. It also addresses repentance. You've got to turn. It also addresses mercy. Not just mercy received, but mercy given. This word of God also addresses correction. Yeah, you've got to correct your course. It's more than just saying, God, forgive me, but correct your course. And it also addresses restoration. Somebody say amen. The Lord taught us to restore. Restore something. Put it back. Put it back better than what you got it. You know, Psalm 119:89, the word of God says, thy word forever is settled in heaven. God does not twist his word to match our side. But he transforms our side to match his word. Think about it. That's the fifth side, is the word of God side. The sixth side, the final side that I want to talk to you about, is God's side. God sees the entire cube. Pastor, you teach us all the time that God, you can't separate God from his word. Very true. But I want you to catch the whole picture tonight. Amen. God will always match up with his word. Hear me. God will always honor his word. And God sees the action and the intention. In just a moment, you'll understand where I'm coming from by saying there's God's side and his word side. But God sees the wound and he sees the healing. He sees the mistake and he also knows the motive, doesn't he? Oh, you think God sees the motive? How many's ever made a mistake? And the motive drove you to the mistake. And God also sees the moment, but he also sees eternity. Everybody else holds a side. But what matters is being on the right side. Being on God's side. Being on the word's side. God holds the cube. I'm glad that God holds the whole picture tonight. What a mighty God I serve. What an infinite God. What an omnipotent God we serve. Omnipotent means what, somebody? All powerful. Omnipresent God. What does omnipresent mean? God's everywhere. And this one, the next one goes along with this. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. I'm glad that this great God is everywhere, has all power, but he's also knowing. Katie, tonight God sees the whole picture of your life. Even when you think your life is scrambled, you think, oh my life's a mess. I'm glad that God is able to take it. And he's able to complete the whole picture tonight. Now think with me. Amen. God sees the whole cube. He sees every side. People take sides. People defend sides, don't they? People even try to pull God to their side. But God did not come to take our side. He came to bring us to his side. When God holds the cube, God don't see confusion. He sees what needs to be moved. He sees what needs to be turned. He sees what needs to be corrected and align it to everything matches his purpose. The goal is not to convince God to see my side. The goal is to surrender our side until we see his side. Until we're brought in that perfect alignment with God. I want God's will. How about you? I want God's plan in my life. What a powerful lesson this is. If this is all what you see tonight, you would think, man, that is mass confusion, hopeless. But the person who knows how to solve this, man, in fact, whenever I began to prepare for this, I did not have these cubes, these Rubik's cubes. And I text Brother Brian and Sister Jennifer, and they made a stop to Kessler's house. I want to tell you, Kessler has the ability within a little bit to unscramble this. I mean, he is very sharp in his mind. And I watched Kessler just in his hand, without even thinking, completely put it all together. He has that. But I want to tell you, I have a God who knows how to take the complexities of life, the misunderstandings of life, the problems of life. Amen. Even when you're on the side that you're wrong, I'm glad that God holds the whole picture. Amen. God has a plan for your life. Hey, friend, the whole point, keep yourself in the master's hand, and God will keep you in his master's plan. You ought to give the Lord a hand of praise tonight that God sees the whole thing. Woo! Every turn to bring it back into alignment, he knows how to put it there. And this connects beautifully to restoration, reconciliation, and God's perfect wisdom. I want to just take you to an example tonight. That speaks to me so greatly how God's side, his word's side, all works together. I want you to think with me. Brother Colton mentioned it this morning in the teaching, and back there, that was the first click today. The Lord began to speak to me. I thought about Jesus being put on the spot. You've been on the spot before, haven't you? You've been put on the spot? And Jesus was put on the spot by the Pharisees when they brought a woman supposedly caught in adultery to him, and they threw this woman at his feet. I want you to understand the reason why they did this. They were trying to bait Jesus into an ethical debate, a judgment clause, really an unethical. And they were trying to get him to make a judgment clause. And my question in this, here they bring a woman, they said, she was caught in adultery. What are you going to do? My question, where was the other party? Where was the man if she was caught in the act? And the account is very strong. Hang on. They tried to trick Jesus. Begin to say, look at the situation. Look at the mess of this Rubik's Cube. Look at this side. I'm thankful that Jesus sees the whole thing. Amen. In John, the 8th chapter, where this event is found, amen, is one of the clearest examples of humans trying to force Jesus to look at only one side of the cube while he saw the whole thing. The question was raised, where was the man? Where's the man? Exactly, that brings attention to the whole story in my mind. And the accusation was, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. If the statement was true, according to the law, they were appealing here to the situation of two guilty parties being present, not one. Deuteronomy 22, 22. 22, 22 of Deuteronomy. 22, 22. If a man be found lying with a woman married to an husband, then they shall both of them die. Leviticus 20 and 10 says, likewise, place guilt upon both the man and the woman. That's what the law says. And that missing man exposed that something, amen, about their presentation was incomplete. Something was sneaky. And I want to tell you, anybody that's sneaky is also snaky. That's my new little word. Sneaky and snaky always go together. Uh-huh. And they were up to something. And that was something that I want you to understand. Side number one of the Rubik's Cube of this situation, the woman's side. She was guilty, and Jesus never denied her sin. He ended by saying, go and sin no more. Grace did not pretend sin was acceptable. But aren't you thankful that God seen the whole picture? God had a perfect plan to align mass confusion back into a clear order. I'm thankful that Jesus just don't have an eraser, but he is an eradicator of our sins. He washes us and we become whiter than snow. And I want you to think about the other side. It was the woman's side, then the Pharisee's side. They presented themselves as defenders of righteousness. They said, Jesus, the law says that she should be judged. But Jesus knew their motives, didn't he? He knew which side that they were looking at of the Rubik's Cube. See, when you look at your side of the Rubik's Cube, I see another side. And this is what they said. They said, tempting him that they might have to accuse Jesus. They wasn't there trying to just accuse the woman. Brother Zach, they were scratching for a fight to get Jesus to choose a side. Think about it. They were trying to pull him in for a comment to hang him. They were not pursuing holiness. They were setting a trap for Jesus. Think with me. Then the third side was the crowd side. Everybody watching probably had opinions. They said she deserved judgment. This is unfair. And no one thought, what are you going to do about it, Jesus? And the crowd saw a scandal. There's some people just love scandals, don't they? There's some people love to stir up things. They love drama, trauma. It all goes together. Have you ever seen somebody just love to keep things stirred up? Yeah, there are people just like that. And the crowd side, they were watching, and they probably had their side of opinions. And then there's the fourth side, what really happened. And biblically, this is the unknown side. Where was the man? Why was she only brought? Was this situation discovered or was it arranged? Why were they more interested in trapping Jesus than restoring the righteous? Scripture does not answer these details, so we should not be careful to claim more than it says. But the missing man shows that they were not bringing the whole cube a perspective. We talked about, amen, the word side a while ago. I want you to think, this is where I want you to understand, the word side. In this situation, what did the word take? The law mattered. Jesus did not ignore the word of God in this situation. But the same law that addressed adultery also addressed when you make a judgment, you need to make a righteous judgment. There need to be honest witnesses for the whole picture to be correct. There needs to be no hypocrisy. The law begins to define what is hypocrisy. And the law also talked about the balance called mercy. They brought one verse, but ignored the whole heart of God. Friend, we can't twist the scriptures and twist our side to try to get to a right side. Amen. You may have one side all figured out, but look at the other side. God wants every side to be complete and arranged in his perfect will. The law mattered. And they tried to twist one verse to try to twist the author of the word of the Lord. I'm thankful that Jesus is not the author only, but he's also the finisher of it. Hallelujah. So side number six was God's side. And God was holding the whole cube. This is where Jesus sometimes stands alone. They saw a woman caught, but Jesus saw a sinner needing mercy, accusers needing conviction, and a trap that need an answer and wisdom. They wanted Jesus to choose. It's either justice and lose mercy or mercy and violated justice. But Jesus chose something higher. Are you thankful that truth always stands with mercy? The incredible moment is when Jesus, amen, in his great rebuttal, he says, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. He didn't say that she didn't have no sin. He revealed, you don't have the complete picture. You don't have all the sides together. The only person qualified to throw a stone was the only person willing to offer grace right there. The Pharisees brought Jesus one side of the cube. They demanded a verdict, but Jesus held the whole cube and brought a perfect redemption. Are you thankful what Jesus does for us today? I want you to understand that divine perception that God has. I want you to notice the contrast between human observation and divine perception. I'm glad I have a God whose eyes see beyond what I could see. You ought to lift your hands right now and thank the Lord that he sees the whole picture, not just one side or two sides. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for divine perception. Now I want you to catch this. People sees a moment, but Jesus sees the whole story. People sees behavior, but Jesus sees the heart. And remember the word said a while ago, the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God is able to divide down deep. People see the present, but Jesus sees the beginning. And I'm thankful that he sees the end tonight. Amen. The heart of the lesson is Jesus never asked someone to turn the cube around. He already saw every side of the cube. When man handed him a messed up situation, I'm thankful that, and I didn't make this tonight. I didn't set this cube like this. Kessler gave it to his mama on the way to church. And little did Kessler know that there would be an illustration like this. Are you thankful that God is able to take confusion and make your life complete on one side? Amen. Oh, are you thankful that the side that matters tonight, really, amen, he's able to take your scrambled life and make you complete? I'm thankful to the Lord tonight that's in the house. Amen. Hallelujah. God never asked somebody to turn the cube around. He already saw every side, but put it in his hand. Put your life and circumstance in his hand. And when Jesus holds the cube, Jesus, amen, saw what others had missed. Think with me. That woman that was thrown at his feet, what was the verdict that Jesus said? Woman, go your way and sin no more. Are you thankful that Jesus will free us from our sin? Jesus frees from our confusion. Amen. Be careful that you don't take a side. Amen. Be careful that you know all six sides. Amen. That you're careful not just to make your comment and your opinion. I want to tell you, opinions are like trash cans. We all got them and they stink. What matters is what God, amen, has in plan in his word. What matters is his word. Amen. I want to go to another illustration where Jesus saw the mess that other people had. What about the woman at the well? Jesus, amen, came to the well and there was a woman there. Others saw her past, but Jesus saw her purpose. John, the fourth chapter. Many people only saw one side of the cube, a hopeless case. But I'm glad that my God specializes in hopeless cases. Amen. Think with me. The community side, this is what they said. She's a Samaritan. She has a history. She's had five husbands. She's living wrong. She was so defined by her past that she came to the well at an unusual time, possibly to avoid all the others. But Jesus held the cube. He saw her broken relationships. He saw her spiritual hunger, her honesty when confused and confronted. And he saw her potential influence. Jesus told her, John 4, 18, for thou hast said it right, you've had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not your husband. Jesus did not stop with what was wrong, but he revealed who he was. In John 4, 26, he said, I that speak unto you am he. Are you thankful that the woman others avoided became the voice that brought others to Jesus? Think with me. Because she found somebody who had the whole plan. Listen what she said to the people of the town, to the men of the town that she went. She said, come see a man who has told me all things that I ever did. I'm thankful that God has a light to show me my past and show me my scrambled, confused life. But I'm glad that God holds the whole picture. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I'm glad that Jesus has a plan for you. He's a man. Amen. Oh, beyond man. He sees beyond what man sees. People saw the stains of yesterday, but Jesus saw the testimony of her tomorrow. The next person that comes to my mind was Zacchaeus. You know, when he heard Jesus was coming, Zacchaeus had a bad reputation. He was a tax collector. He was the one that you better pay your taxes. And everybody saw one side. And he heard that Jesus was coming, and he climbed a tree to try to see Jesus. And Jesus walks up to the sinner, the tax collector. They all murmured when they saw Jesus. And when Jesus said, come on, we're going to your house. You know what the crowd said? That he was going to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. The crowd saw greed, corruption, betrayal, failure. And before Zacchaeus could ever see Jesus, Jesus had already seen him. Luke 19:5, he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. That word must is a powerful word today. The crowd saw an incident. They saw a sinful man in a tree, but Jesus saw it as an appointment, a soul that was ready for a change. Are you thankful, friend? Have you ever been out on a limb before? Zacchaeus was out on a limb, but I'm thankful that the Lord says, amen, you're in a predicament, but you're in a right place. Have you ever been in a predicament but came to an appointment with the King of Kings and the Lord of Hosts? God is able to take your confusion and in that appointment rearrange your circumstances to make it beautiful. Amen. The crowd saw what Zacchaeus had always been, but Jesus saw what he could become. The third individual that Jesus saw beyond the picture, others saw a disciple. He was one of the 12 named Judas. But Jesus saw a decision. John 6 and John 13, maybe the most sobering side of the cube. Everybody else saw him as, yeah, he's one of the disciples. He preached with them, walked with them, and ate with them, held the bag with them. But Jesus saw the hidden side, where Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Jesus knew the secret conversations, the hidden greed, the coming betrayal, yet Jesus still washed Judas's feet. You ever thought about that? Jesus still gave him opportunity. Jesus treated him with love, in spite of knowing the other side of the cube. Sometimes when Jesus holds the cubes, he's not just trying to expose sinners. Sometimes it's extending mercy while knowing the truth. I'm thankful for the light that the Word of God is not just to expose us, but to guide us into all truth. Jesus knew Judas's worst moment before Judas committed it, yet still he gave him every opportunity to choose differently. Are you thankful that God sees? Are you thankful for the grace of God tonight? Are you thankful for the purpose of God, the plan of God tonight? You ought to lift your hands and just thank the Lord that he's a God of mercy and a God of grace. Hallelujah. Thank you today, Jesus, that you see beyond me. You see beyond my mess, that you hold the whole cube in your hand, Jesus. I thank you today, Lord. I praise you. I love you, Lord. You're a wonderful Savior. Think with me tonight. The Pharisees that brought the adulterous woman, it was, look what she did. The Samaritans saw the woman at the well, look at where she's been. Zacchaeus, the people of Jericho, said, look what he's taken. And the disciples saw Judas, look who he appeared to be. But Jesus said, I see the whole picture, the whole cube. I see what happened, why it happened, what nobody else knows, and what my grace still can do. When a man holds the cube, He usually turns it until he finds the side that fits his opinion and proves his opinion. But when God holds the cube, he turns it until he reveals his purpose. I'm glad that God is a God who sees beyond us. And this message tonight is about careful judgment, about mercy, discernment, and restoration. When God holds the cube, there's a perception and a sight that is beyond what we see. A side of the story is not the whole story. And the danger is not what, when we see a side, but the danger is when we believe our side is all there is. Man reacts to what he sees, but God responds to what he knows. People judge the chapter they walk in, but God reads the whole book tonight. And a moment may reveal an action, but only God can reveal the heart. The loudest side is not the truest side tonight. But I'm thankful tonight, before we throw stones, we got to remember, amen, you're not the only one seeing the whole cube. I have a God who sees beyond. God don't need the cube to be turned around. He sees all the sides, and nothing is hidden on the backside of the cube when God is holding it. I'm glad tonight, amen, he has beyond the scattered colors. He has a complete change and restoration. Amen. God never exposes a broken side without restoring the picture. He restores souls tonight. He's a God of mercy and a God of grace. Hey, people label the scramble, but God knows the solution tonight. Others may define you at your worst, but God has a finished work for your life. I love you, Jesus. I thank you tonight for your grace and goodness. Amen. And final tonight, when we hold the cube, we look for a side to defend. But when God holds the cube, he looks for a side to redeem. Be careful tonight which side you choose. When somebody comes to you and scratching in for a debate, they're not getting you just to make a statement. They're getting you to make a judgment that they could judge you and say, I thought you were. I mean, many people are trying to bait you into the arena. And this is a statement that I've always heard. A bulldog could whip a skunk, but it's not worth the stink. Many times we could whip a situation. But friend, sometimes the low road is better than the high road. Amen. I'm thankful for the mercies of God that Jesus, he could have whipped the situation, but he took the low road to Calvary. And for there, he paid the price for victory that you and I could have a beautiful picture of life. Stand with me tonight. We talked about the goodness of the Lord, the mercies of God. We talked about our judgment. We talked about making decisions and jumping into things. But I'm glad that God don't write us off, but he writes us in. What about your life? What about God's plan? What about the mercies of the goodness of the Lord that God has available for you tonight? I don't want to miss what God has by staying in one little picture of hopelessness and circumstances that just don't match up. I'm glad tonight that my Savior, his grace is still amazing. His goodness hasn't ran out. And his hand is ever reaching. You may have a circumstance that you need help with tonight. You can't understand the whole picture. That's okay. God just don't see the one side like you do tonight. He sees every side. And it's easy for me to say, but this is all there is. Look at it. But I'm glad for the complete picture that God has for my soul, your soul, and the souls of other people. Don't write somebody off that Calvary wants to write in to his plan. Would you lift your hands? I need you to, amen, lift your hands to the Lord tonight and thank him for the blood of Calvary. Come on, the Lord has shared with you tonight some insight that he holds the whole picture. Hallelujah. He has a promise for your life, grace for your life. And if he's got a promise for you and grace for you, Could it be that God wants you to share that promise and share that grace? Don't be quick to make a judgment stand. Amen. Don't be quick to write somebody off and judge somebody severely. Amen. When God has given you a hope and God's given you an opportunity. Amen. I believe we need to walk to the front tonight to say thank you to the Lord. Amen. That God's plan, amen, is for you, to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Would you come and adore the Lord and ask him, Lord, have your way with me, Lord. Amen. Sis Crossway, go ahead. Amen. Saint of God, would you lift your hands to Jesus tonight? Come on. Amen. Are you quick to judge? Are you quick to comment? Are you quick to scratch for a fight? Are you quick to just write something off? Come on, let the Lord tonight put your life in his hand, for he has a work for you. Sis Crossway, somebody lift your hands and thank the Lord. Come on, touch the Lord with me right now. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to thank the Lord for mercy and grace meeting together.
A hope. hopeless case, I'd be an empty place if not for grace.
Sing it again.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found. A hopeless case, I'd be an empty place if not.
Sing that again one more time.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found. A hopeless case, I'd be an empty place if not for grace.
My chains are
gone. You ought to sing it loud tonight. You ought to celebrate tonight. Hallelujah.
My God, my Savior, ransom me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace.
Sing it, church.
Ransom me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace.
One more time.
My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, ransom me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace.
Are you thankful for the depth of God? Are you thankful for the grace of God, the goodness of God? Lift your hands with us in the closing of this service. Thank you, Jesus. We love and we praise you for what you're doing for us, God. You're wonderful, Jesus. Amazing, great, holy, beautiful you are, Jesus. Thank you tonight, God. Thank you that I can live, Lord. In your name, Jesus. Praise God. We're not running the aisles, but we're grateful people tonight. Amen. Amen. Sometimes God has to speak to us in parables. Sometimes He has to teach us something. And I pray tonight that you've caught the word, the spirit of the word tonight. Let's go to heaven, how? Yeah. Our guests, we're so honored to have you tonight, every one of you. Brother Luke, it's been a joy to have you. Sis, it's good to have you with us. Others that are here tonight, God bless you, Roger and Denise. Amen. We love you. Looking forward to spend some time with you. Amen. Let's grow all the way to heaven together. God bless.